Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. All right. Shocking video captures former ESPN sportscaster being ejected from an RV onto a California highway.
Yeah.
Here's the report.
It's shocking video as a well-known TV sportscaster is tumbling on the side of a busy Los Angeles freeway. The victim is former ESPN sportscaster Cordell Patrick.
How was it that season?
Patrick has just been thrown through the window of his RV, landing close to speeding traffic.
It happened on the 14 freeway. The victim's wife fell asleep behind the wheel as they were returning from a camping trip. He tried to grab the wheel, but the RV crashed into the median, going 60 miles an hour.
Patrick flew through the driver's side window. This video shows the moment he lands on the highway.
Flew through the window.
The window is completely gone, shattered as he was flung out.
Hold on a second. If you've ever been ejected from a vehicle, can you call in? 203-882-9757.
Did you see this video, by the way?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
This poor guy.
Yeah. That thing rode the friggin' Jersey barrier, and he went blast right out, and he on the other side of the Jersey barrier rolling.
Well, he's a lucky guy.
He got very lucky.
He should be dead.
Yeah. I mean, another foot and a half.
How do you not get hit by a car? That white SUV almost hit him.
I know.
Yep.
I know.
Luckily, that driver was paying attention.
Well, they were texting and veered off accidentally. Whoops.
Yeah. I fell out of a car once, but it was out in the woods.
That was your brother, right?
Yeah.
Dumped you?
Yeah.
Right. The door opened, you got your flu.
Yeah, I flew out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, is there anybody coming that direction? What?
Yeah. That could have been deadly, like if I hit a tree when I fell out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky
there were no
here.
Seatbelts back then. We didn't wear seatbelts. No one. That was an inconvenience. It was like, who wears seatbelts?
Exactly.
Right.
Died like real men.
What is this for?
Yep.
You can see an SUV swerving to avoid hitting him. I spoke with him today from his hospital room at Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital north of Los Angeles.
The brief moment that you needed to use a restroom, you unbuckled, right?
Yes.
So walk us through what happened.
And the moment I stood up, all of a sudden I noticed we were going sideways toward the median. And I looked at her eyes, and her eyes, she was asleep. And I tried to grab the steering wheel. As soon as I got to the steering wheel, the impact.
Patrick was conscious the entire time.
Did you have a sense of sliding on the ground?
Oh, I knew I was sliding, and I was sliding at a high rate.
A good Samaritan pulled over to help.
There's the window. Oh, there's the screen, dude. His head broke the screen. There's his shoe.
This guy's walking around recording.
Croc.
He's doing play-by-play.
Yep.
This is where I really felt bad for this guy that fell out of the RV, because they show him
right
at the end
time.
Of the slide. I mean, he slid on the pavement.
His stomach got like old.
His shirt's like all bunched up over his head. I wish
Nasty.
They didn't show that part in the report.
Nasty.
I felt bad for him there.
Really? There's some part of me that wants to see all that.
I did want to see it, but I felt bad for him that it was included in the news.
I'm surprised
report.
He's speaking so clearly after that happened.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, they talked to him on the ground.
Yeah. But when you see it in slow motion and there's some stills from other dash cams.
Yeah.
Like he comes out and then he lands basically on his head and neck and he's like upside down sliding down the highway.
Yeah.
He's still moving. Yeah.
All he wanted to do was go to the bathroom.
And then that white SUV just pulls out just in the nick
of time. Tahoe just missed him. Yep.
That weird sort of area on the side of the road to the left-hand side, like, it's just full of grit.
Oh, yeah.
And sand.
Yeah.
Broken glass.
Glass.
Yeah, papers.
Bits of plastic from bumpers.
Roadkill. Other folks that fell from SUVs.
ESPN sportscasters.
Right.
This guy's screen now is out there.
His shoe, his Croc is out there now.
Yeah.
There's roadkill.
Yep,
that poor
everything.
Guy.
Yep.
Ugh.
Just dragged through hell.
Like a bad deer.
Yeah. And he looked like he went through hell.
Yes, he did.
James in Wallingford.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Yo.
Yeah, I wasn't ejected from a car, but I was ejected off a motorcycle. But good thing I had my tough skin pants on.
I've done that.
You had tough skin pants
on. Tough skin jeans, man. Those things look tough. That's what they're made for.
Well, I tell you what, AJ. It was the patches on the knee on the inside that would scrape your knees.
I know. It was okay. It was okay.
It was like sandpaper.
It was. And it was worse. It was cold outside. You get,
thank
like,
God
freezer.
He had his tough skin pants on.
Tough skin pants.
That's right. Never underestimate the skinny. All right, guys. Be good.
All right, James. Thank you.
Tough skin pants. They return.
Is that the end of the report?
Wasn't moving. As soon as I get close, he starts moving, so I knew he was alive. Dude, he was aware. Speaking to me, he knew what happened.
All right. You want to just lay down? She's inside.
All he cared about was his wife's condition.
Is she all right?
Yeah.
She just freaked out. Yeah,
we also spoke to his wife, LaTanya.
Were you looking for your husband? Do we like that this guy, this quote, Good Samaritan, has his phone out and is recording?
I think
this.
That's why I felt bad.
It's interviewing him, yeah.
Even the guy that went to help him, but I get why he recorded it. The fact that he shared it with the news, I think, made me feel bad.
Right. No, but why? That's not my reaction if I see someone injured. I don't, like, let me record this.
Right.
I kind of get it. Just like, you never know what's going to happen. If that guy gets up and like he's disoriented, like you don't want to be responsible. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he wanders,
it could protect you also in case
it really could.
And Ace says you did something else.
I don't think that would be my first reaction either, but yeah. I understand it. The fact that he released
gave it to a current affair.
Didn't like that move, man. I felt bad for this guy.
Right. Yikes.
Yep.
It felt like you did a good thing and then you did a selfish thing.
Yes.
Well, he was doing a good thing and a selfish thing simultaneously. He's recording while he's supposed to be helping.
I mean, I'll take the help. I don't care the form that I'm getting it at that point.
If you're wearing a body cam, it's a different story.
Sure.
Yeah. But you're one hand, you're holding your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That hand could be doing something else.
Yeah. Like, taking off his tough skin pants to check his injuries.
Exactly right. Well, tough skin pants is fine.
And you're right. If he's going to have the phone in hand, call 911. Like, why are we not listening to that guy on 911?
I'm assuming he already called 911, but yeah. 911 wouldn't let you off the phone that fast.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. He should be on the phone 911, and his conversation with the guy should be, all right, I'm talking to 911. They're asking me questions about you.
Yes.
That should be what's happening.
I'm going to say some, hey, want me to call 911?
Paul in Wallingford.
Yeah, it's a long story, but I'll shorten it. We got hit by a truck on a motorcycle.
Oh.
And a little bit longer is the person, we came to the stop sign, but someone stole it. So we didn't stop. Again, long story. And a truck hit us because we didn't stop. And we got pretty effed up.
Oh.
But, it's a lot longer story that I'm sure you don't care, but when the cop asked me what happened, I told him, and he said, you're bleeding. I said, yeah, I was on the back of the bike because I had to bring the bike to the shop, and my brother decided to drive his bike, whatever. And we got hit by a truck.
Wow.
And you're alive. Yeah. And you were awake, and you were able to talk to the police.
Exactly.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yep.
Well, we've been doing mornings for 20 years here.
Yes.
And I started at the station 86, blah, blah, many, many years. This is the very first time we've had the mayor of Wallingford in studio.
Yeah, it took a while.
Ever in my career.
People, it's hard to get hold of.
It took getting a new mayor.
It did.
To get the mayor in.
Right.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Good morning and congratulations, Mayor Cervone.
Thank you very much and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
How long have you been mayor?
2 weeks.
Yeah. Are you going to run again?
Yeah.
Talk to me in 10 months.
Yeah.
He's like, no.
What's it like? What's the first 2 weeks been?
Everybody wants to be on my calendar.
Really?
Yeah. It got full really quickly.
Now, what are you putting together? Like a calendar of like sexy political people? You mean that kind of calendar? Right, right.
No, town folk.
It's
the plumbers.
Mostly been department heads.
Everybody wants a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, to get the continuity rolling.
Gotcha.
I have to plan the town's budget for the next fiscal year and release it by April 1st. So there's already discussions happening about that.
April 1st, well, that's a fun day to do it.
Yeah.
That would be an awesome April Fool's Day joke. Yeah. Like the budget's like $89.
Right.
Each department gets a dollar.
Right.
Good luck.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that it's April 1st. I thought that for the 14 years I was on the council, it was, I was waiting for the mayor,
right.
who, the prior mayor, who did have a sense of humor. to have some kind of April Fool's joke, and it was always dead serious.
Oh.
This is the budget.
Okay, and you probably don't want to start your term as mayor with a joke on April Fool's about the mayor
right.
with the budget.
Yeah. Isha, maybe you can help me with
that. There we go, yeah. Right here. Write a good April Fool's joke.
Well, that doesn't seem like a lot of time to put together a budget.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Well, it is if you've been doing it for 40 years, like the last mayor, and you just kind of, well, we go up 1% or whatever.
Right.
Don't you want to redo the whole thing or not really?
Well, there's a lot of things that you have to continue. The biggest part of any municipal budget is the salaries. It's the, you know, the employee salaries. And there's not going to be big changes there. You're just going to have to adjust because, you know, there's always raises.
Right. Always raises. Hold on.
Wait,
AJ,
always
are you writing this down?
This raised word you speak of. Is this a thing of your people?
It's a thing with collective bargaining, which is the significant majority of the town employees.
Right.
But we're going to have some new expenses in this budget because there's going to be some big technology upgrades.
You got to upgrade, right? Isn't that like 1955 Wallingford?
Well, the town was formed in its current existence form of government in this, like, 1960.
Wow.
I'm the fifth mayor under the current form of government.
Wow.
It's mostly file cabinets.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Was the big discovery during COVID, right? Because you couldn't do anything remotely because everything is so outdated.
Yeah, as the council chairman, I had to get our meetings up online. We were meeting virtually during COVID.
Wow.
We tried to have a meeting in town hall with this telephone system that just didn't work.
Yeah.
So we went to one of the virtual platforms and we were able to get up and running that way. And you really don't need to have a lot of infrastructure to do a virtual meeting. You just have to have a computer with access to the internet, which we do have in town. We just need more.
I love Wallingford.
Yeah.
Got the brand new mayor of Wallingford in the studio right now.
Right.
And he's a cool guy. He's holding the guitar.
I know.
That's nuts.
Like, so it's really mind-blowing. So not only is it the first time we've had the Wallingford mayor in studio, but he's sitting here with a guitar in his hand.
Max Slinger.
Yeah. How did that, how old are you?
I'm 55.
55. Okay. So you probably smoked weed at some point in your life.
I plead the fifth.
I got to tell you, that used to be a question no one wanted to touch.
I know.
And then once Bill Clinton looked into the camera and said, I smoked, but I didn't inhale. I think it was like, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's better just to say, yes.
Exactly.
And then people would say, yes, I did. And I inhaled.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like not a thing. Like the governor's been on, he said he smoked. The last governor, he smoked. Like everybody has smoked, Bob.
Right.
Clinton had two terms.
That's
right. He maxed out.
Yeah, exactly.
He did.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
In Northford.
Okay.
Like
right by.
Three miles from where I live now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to go to Wallingford because Wallingford had commerce. You know, compared to Northford 40 years ago, Wallingford was really advanced.
That was a big city.
Yep.
And going to Wallingford.
Yeah, no, Wallingford's beautiful. A lot of farm country, but also that downtown, man. A lot of great restaurants.
Yep.
How did you come about playing guitar?
I started when I was 12.
Did you see something or concert or what was it that you said, I want a guitar?
That Foreigner song really got to you, didn't it? Jukebox Hero.
I was before that. It was Elvis Presley. You know, his movies were in syndication on weekend television. And, you know, he would pick up a guitar, barely play it, and then be surrounded by beautiful girls.
Smoking hot.
Right. So you're thinking, okay.
There's a recipe there.
I don't even really have to play this thing.
I just hold on to it and show up like lemmings. It's amazing.
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
How's that worked out for you?
Not as well as Elvis.
Okay.
But I'm still alive.
All right,
exactly right.
That's true.
He didn't kick it on the toilet.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, so.
Are you married?
I am.
Okay, so it worked, on some level.
It did.
How did you meet your wife?
Law school.
Law school.
Oh, so not the guitar.
She sued you, or? You know, if I just marry, it'd be a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Wow, so you picked up a guitar at 12.
Yeah.
And when was your first concert?
Sometime in high school. You know, I did something where we played three songs.
No, not your first performance.
Oh, God.
First concert you went to.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy Coplick always gives me grief about this because
He will in less than an hour.
I shouldn't admit it. But the first concert I went to was with my mom.
Okay.
She took me to the Oakdale.
Right.
I was like 6 years old and we saw Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, six.
Wow.
That is pretty bad.
Yep.
By the way,
was that the?
But you didn't have a choice. You're six.
Was that the Quando?
Mom's like, you're going.
Was that the Quando?
I don't know who that is.
You shouldn't know who that is. You should not know who that is.
Seriously,
ISMA should not know who that is.
We should know who it is.
Phil, can you pull up Engelbert Humperdinck?
Oh, Quando's a good one. Go with that one.
Quando. Yep. Okay.
Is that his song?
Quando. Tell me, when will you be mine? Yeah.
That's him?
Yep, that's him.
Quando.
Why do you know that?
Because
he's like judging. He's like, why? What's wrong?
A former employee here had that as one of his, one of the things for his,
All right, you just know it.
Exactly.
There it is.
Suddenly he's 6 years old.
This is like elevator music in the 1970s.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't even hip in the 70s.
Right. Get those big mutton chop things.
Tell me, when will you be mine?
But this song can appear in any comedy and work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it probably
like,
has.
You can picture this in the soundtrack for Austin Powers.
Exactly. Do you know this song?
To play it, no.
Yeah,
he's
no.
like, it's my favorite.
Ruth, what was your first concert?
Whitney Houston.
What?
Whitney Houston, wow.
Sick.
AJ?
Kiss.
Ayesha?
Backstreet Boys.
Okay. So, that 30 years from now, you say that, you'll be embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It'll be like saying Engelbert Humperdinck.
Pretty much, yes.
Phil was Britney Spears. Mine was Electric Light Orchestra.
ELO, and they only had one light.
Yeah,
yes.
They only have one light.
Well,
I was expecting this massive light show. I'm like, it's Electric Light Orchestra.
It's in the name.
It
was an electric light.
They had one.
One light.
One light.
Didn't say lights.
Like, this doesn't seem impressive. No Doubt announced they're getting back together for Coachella. Any tour, any chance of them coming to Connecticut?
Well, they haven't announced a tour yet. I would think that my guess would be they would eventually tour. But they're going to probably wait for Coachella to go on sale, sell all the tickets, and then maybe they'll announce a tour. I can't see an artist getting together just for one show.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. So hopefully there'll be a tour, but they haven't announced anything about a tour yet.
Do you think they'd come to Connecticut? And if they did, where would you put them?
Oh, I think they'd either play Xfinity or Mohegan Sun. One
okay.
Of
wow. So that big.
Yeah.
I'd go.
Gotcha. Did you look at the other bands coming to Coachella?
Yes.
It seems like No Doubt's the only real...
Big.
That's the one.
That's the band.
That's the draw.
Everybody else is who?
Yeah.
It's called Age.
Yep.
John Mellencamp announced the tour. He's coming to Connecticut. Why the Bushnell? It seems...
Playing the Bushnell on March 13. It's not promoted by Live Nation, so I can't say why the Bushnell, but they chose the Bushnell.
Wow.
Doesn't like if you were bringing him in, where would you put him?
Oakdale.
Really? So he's not an amphitheater guy.
Well, it's March.
Oh,
right.
You can put him out there.
Okay.
Anyway.
You'd like to put him there in March.
To freeze my ass off tour.
No, I would put him into Bridgeport, into the amp in Bridgeport if
it was summer
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Right. It just seems like the Bushnell's small for someone like him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Janet Jackson.
Very excited that we have Janet coming to Xfinity June 29th. Very excited about that. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. And we're on pre-sale already. And the pre-sale code is Spotlight, but I'm not supposed to say that.
Right, exactly. Right. Right. No Spotlights here.
Spotlight.
No Spotlight, right.
And that's one word, no spaces.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, exactly. That's the word. We didn't say that in Spotlight.
Yeah.
No.
Brett Goldstein.
Oh, I love Brett Goldstein. I mean, I first became aware of Brett Goldstein as Roy Kent on Ted Lasso.
Here we go.
Never realizing that he was a comedian, and he was sort of an angry guy on Ted Lasso. And little did I realize that he was actually a comedian that was also a great actor. And we are so happy that we have him coming into Oakdale, which also goes on sale tomorrow.
Yay.
Adam in Fairfield, what's your question?
It's Alan, but that's okay. Hardy, his tour goes on.
What did I say?
Adam.
Did I say Adam?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
You did.
Sorry, Larry.
I'll just make sure not to pour your drinks as large as I should.
But thank you.
But yeah, Hardy.
Hardy.
That's a good one. Hardy's not playing Connecticut on this tour.
Har.
No.
Oh, darn. Thank you.
I feel bad for you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, Saratoga's the closest.
Nick in Bristol.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Good morning.
I have an Oakdale Theater story for you.
Okay.
It was way back when it was in the round Yolkdale.
Right.
And they had, I guess they call it the Furl Circle. You had to join like a club. And I found out that Ringo and his all-star band was coming. I'm a huge Beatles fan.
What year was this?
Oh, man. Trying to remember. It's got to be in the 80s, right, Jimmy?
Oh, I wasn't there in the round.
That's
I got
like
there
the
when it
Siegel
wasn't
time.
In the round. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ben Siegel time. But we turned it into end stage in the mid-90s. 96 is when we opened up at the end. So it could have been the 80s.
Yep. And anyhow, so I get second row seats. You know, I joined the club just because of Ringo.
Yeah.
And I'm over there with my wife right next to me, and then in back, like four rows in back, my brother and my cousins, everybody was going.
The whole family.
Well, Ringo was going around, and he just finished singing one of his songs, and he's right in front of me. Now I'm going nuts. You know, standing up, screaming.
Did you flash him?
How old are you at this time?
He points his finger at me, smiles and waves. I'm going nuts. My brother yells out, "Hey, Nick, is your pants still dry?" I'm like, "You son of a gun."
Wow. He embarrassed you in front of a Beatle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Ringo left.
Embarrass me, why don't you, in front of everybody?
Aww. Right.
Nice and loud, too.
Second row.
You got me. That was great.
How old were you?
Die Hard Beatles fan since I was
How eight. Old were you when that happened, Nick?
Well, if it was in the 80s, I was in my 30s. I'm 68 now.
Okay.
I was in my 30s.
In your 30s,
know?
Okay.
All right. Seems a little...
Right.
Okay.
That was great.
But it's a Beatle.
Fun time.
Yeah, we're going to walk with... Really fast.
Again, it was like that, you know?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Nick.
Take care. Bye-bye.
How many times do you think you had Ringo at the Oakdale, Jimmy?
Well, since I've been there, it's been three times, but I'm sure he's been there five or six times. I just sent you a picture of me and Ringo backstage at Oakdale.
Oh, cool. May I post it?
Sure.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Sure. I'm glad the guy didn't ask me if I wet my pants. It would have been bad. He's a Beatle.
Can I ask Jimmy a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
The band Yellow Card, I saw they're doing Xfinity in Mansfield. I don't know if they were going to do it here in Connecticut.
We had them last year
down
in Bridgeport, but we have no plans for Bridgeport this year.
Thanks.
But that could change, Jimmy, or you would know by now?
No, it could change. No, it could change.
Okay. I think I'll see. Fingers crossed.
Cool. Wait,
so you're busy now, right? This is busy, busy, busy season for you, booking stuff?
Yeah, this is actually our busiest season, even though the number of concerts really doesn't make us busy, but we're booking like crazy, and we are putting shows on sale like crazy.
Nice.
So we are internally busy, and then comes summertime when we have to work a lot of nights.
Every now and then... Not every now and then, but once or twice a season, you pull a rabbit out of a hat, and it's a band that we're all like, ooh. You have any of those that are, even with everything you've seen as a concert promoter for so many years, is there anything on the schedule for 2024 coming to Connecticut that you're like, that's a good one?
Ooh.
Yes.
Really?
Oh.
Nice.
Boy, oh boy. No,
I'm not getting in any trouble over this one.
Okay, yeah, I'll leave it at that. I'll just ask one more question. When do you think we will know?
February.
Nice.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah.
It will be on May 18th, the show, but I won't mention the show yet.
Put it down on the calendar.
Oh, let me write it down right now.
Right.
May 18th. Okay. When do you think in February you'll announce it?
Either the first or second week.
Wow.
Okay. Can you come on and do that? Like,
gladly.
Because you normally announce at 10 a.m. Maybe you come on somewhere at like 9 a.m.
Right?
Sure, we can always fiddle around with that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Is this a group that we play on this radio station? Played at one time?
It certainly played at one time. It's a classic rock artist.
It's Engelbert Humperdinck.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Dan the Cigar Man wants to know if the Wolfie Show at Toad's Place is a meet and greet.
Ooh.
Is there a meet and greet available?
It'd be pretty cool to meet him. I agree with that. That you have to check on their website. We don't handle meet and greets. All artists do that.
That used to be something done with radio stations and concert promoters, and they've turned that into a little mini business of their own.
Exactly. It became a money machine.
Yeah. Right.
So you and I were left out now.
Yeah. We're left out.
Because we would want a piece of it. if we were involved in it.
Well, it was a real cool way for artists to connect with listeners.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't a money thing. It was the radio station gets to say, be the ninth caller.
Yep.
Win tickets and then get in the running to
meet the band.
Meet the band.
Yeah.
We did that with Leonard Skinner at the Oakdale.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sort of ruins the excitement having to pay to meet the band. But I will tell you, it's a gold mine. When we had Kiss last time at Xfinity, there must have been 1,000 people online waiting to meet Kiss.
Wow. Yeah.
It was remarkable.
What do you think they were charging for that?
I think over $100. So there's $100,000 right there.
Damn.
Wow.
Yep, Gene was smiling.
Yeah. Gene Simmons doesn't do anything cheap.
No, he didn't.
No.
That's the thing. We look back and we said, man, it was so much easier or whatever. But we pay this stuff.
Yeah.
So if we didn't pay it,
they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
Right.
Yep.
No, that's true. That's true.
Eric, Long Island.
Yeah, I have an odd question because I'm not from Connecticut.
Okay.
The question is, why is it called the Oakdale when you have an Oakdale, Connecticut, and it's in Wallingford?
That's a
great question because, you know, I drive out to the island because I spend some of my summer in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
There's also an Oakdale, Long Island.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
So I pass that sign and go, okay, maybe you should get off and go to work, but it's not there. But you're right. There's an Oakdale, Connecticut. I didn't name it the Oakdale. I have no idea. It seems like the dumbest thing in the world. Maybe Vinny knows.
Yeah, we'd have
maybe
to,
our mayor knows.
We'd have to resurrect the guy who built it to find out why he named it the Oakdale.
Can you check the wiki page, Phil, please?
Maybe it was like John Oak and Bill Dale. Oakdale. Like two people's names together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Right.
I know that at my job site, we have some locations that were named after the style of the condo, but I would have never figured that out.
Maybe a guy named Dale got killed by an oak as a tribute.
As a tribute, we'll call it the Oakdale.
Right.
Venue was founded by Ben Siegel in 1954. It was located in an alfalfa field near the Oakdale Tavern.
Aha!
There we go.
But
why is it called the Oakdale Tavern?
Why was the tavern called the Oakdale Tavern?
How far back are we going?
Caveman! Whatever it takes!
Hey, thank you. Great question.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
In 1962, he also purchased the nearby tavern.
There we go.
Mayor, Jimmy, while you guys are here, do you want to promote some businesses in Wallingford?
Where do we begin? There's so many.
Best Meatballs, Michael's.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah, Michael's Trattoria.
Yeah?
Yes. That's where Mayor and I had lunch there last week, and it was great.
Great food. Love it.
Great. Hang on. My stomach went
wrong. Love the vibe. Yep. Love the place. Love the food.
Meatballs.
Meatballs.
I wrote that down.
And the meatballs are great, but I have to tell you something. The mayor and I were trying to convince Michael to open up a special pizza area, because their pizza is the most underrated pizza.
Really?
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Really?
What's the place to go?
Michael.
You're wrong.
You go to Michael.
They have it. Yeah. Right. What's that place that used to be a bank and now it's a restaurant?
Well, now that's Knuckleheads.
I think.
No.
Oh, Knuckleheads. They upgraded.
Really?
No. Yes, they did.
Knuckleheads? Really?
Oh, yes.
No, the restaurant that was in...
It was J. Christian's. They've closed. And now it's Knuckleheads.
Nice.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one.
Great name.
It's around the corner from Michael's. Right around the corner from Michael's.
Yeah,
really?
Great name. It's like 7 steps door to door.
Yeah. Really? Yep.
Yeah.
Wallingford, wow.
I remember
saying
when they were just a little tiny shop.
Yeah, they were. But Wallingford is a wonderful town, and I hope people come and visit. Great food. Very, very nice town to live in. It's great, Wallingford. I love going to Wallingford almost
every
day. My
dad called me that, knucklehead.
So Michael's has been there for 30 years, and he's become a champion of downtown dining in Wallingford. If you're a new restaurant owner coming to the center of town, he welcomes you, and he enjoys downtown Wallingford being a dining destination.
Nice.
For people.
It is a great place to
Wallingford.
You park and you just walk around.
Wallingford, put your eating pants on.
Put your eating pants on. Steve in Thomaston.
How we doing, guys?
Hello.
Hey, how we doing? I guess I got a question for Jimmy. My first concert was Eagles, Little River Band, and Heart.
Wow.
Can you stop bragging?
Right.
That's your first show.
Damn. Did your mother take you?
Yeah, the mayor went to Engelbert Humperdinck. I went to ELO with One Light, Electric Light Orchestra.
It wasn't Lights Orchestra, Electric Light.
Just Light.
Yeah. You went to the Eagles, Heart, and Little River Band, one of the most famous Connecticut concerts in the history of Connecticut concerts. That was your first show.
My first show.
Wow.
We're not jealous at all now.
First show. I was 13 years old.
Wow. Wow.
Cool.
Had a hell of a time. Good. First time for a lot of things that day.
Huh.
Wow.
A bad heat stroke.
Did you take it easy?
Heat stroke.
My question is, as we were going into the Yale Bowl, I was going to buy a ticket, or I buy a T-shirt, I mean. And I purchased a T-shirt sitting in the back seat of a Gremlin.
A Gremlin.
Then, oh.
This is so 1980.
I want that car.
The gentleman took the money, threw the shirt in the back seat, and took off. I unfolded it to see that it's a double extra large.
Yeah.
And me only being about 180, I wore it like a dress for a couple of years.
Right. Does it fit tight now?
Yeah, but now you grew into it.
I wore it recently, first time in a long time, to go see Bob Weir at the Warner.
Oh, what a cool shirt.
At the Palace. I'm sorry, at the Palace in Waterbury.
Nice. Okay.
And unfortunately got in a bike accident, and they had to cut the shirt off.
What?
Oh, my God.
They tried to save the shirt. They really did.
I got the front part legible.
Oh.
Like hanging on the wall or something like that.
That's Man. A sad end.
Yeah, that shirt. Is really.
My question was, it said Summer Jam 80.
Yeah, June 14th, 1980.
Okay.
That's the date.
You hear a lot of people... referred to as Summer Jam 80.
Nobody does.
And I got in an argument that some people said it was 79. But
yeah.
It was 80. I had the T-shirt.
Yeah, 1980, June 14th, $15.50 a ticket.
Wow.
$15.50.
$15. I remember the fees.
At least a zero now.
Yeah, when I saw Kiss, it was $14.
All right.
Now you can't even buy a beer for $15.
Seriously. Parking only $15.
Exactly.
All right, Steve. Thanks. Glad you're okay. Yes. Sorry for your shirt.
Yes, we are.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.